Testing at the unit. Alan Cornell testing. Back room by the TV testing.
At the podium testing.
Joint meeting of the Central Maryland Transportation Mobility Commission, the Central Maryland Transportation Mobility Consortium, and everyone welcome. I see we have a couple guests from the public, so welcome. We always like to have you here, and staff and the various county staff people. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming. I guess we cannot take a vote on the minutes because we don't have a quorum, correct?
Right.
You guys brushed me up on my parliamentary procedure. Is Estime here?
Estime is not here.
Okay. Is there anything you would like to say about the review of those minutes?
In your packet and mm-hmm. in the email that went out is a copy of the minutes from the Riders Advisory Council in January. They're quite lengthy, but I think Estime did an excellent job last month really giving a lot of detail of the issues. We are obviously working through some customer service is at the core of it. So we are working on sort of a multi-pronged approach of dealing with customer service across new drivers, old drivers, the call center, our supervisors, and we will be filling you in as things come to fruition. Once we're fully staffed, that's part of the plan. So if you have any questions or any follow-up items from the minutes.
This is from the Riders Advisory.
From January 10th,
yeah,
yes.
Not our meeting.
Correct.
So I would just like to say it's heartening to hear as a commissioner that, you know, there was a common thread of customer service and some good, some not so good in the comments we heard from the public last month. So I'd like to stay. It's good to hear you're focused on it, and please keep us apprised of any new initiatives or anything you think we should know about this.
Okay, will do. And our next meeting is March 16th for the Riders Advisory?
Riders Advisory is March
14th. Oh, I'm sorry.
March 14th.
Okay.
For the Riders, yeah.
Okay.
I could ask about the Riders, but I know we've been having issues trying to find people that get on this commission. I don't know. Is there any ideas from RTA on it's? I just don't see a way we're going to get people that actually
who's
ride
currently
the bus,
on it,
I guess.
So the majority of the people that have attended the meeting live in Howard County. We do have, I think, one representative that came from Prince George's
that did not commit
to coming every time and participating. We have we've put it out on the buses. I'm not exactly sure the best way to, we put it out on the buses, on our website, on social media, to try and, I think we're not as much of a presence in Prince George's County mm-hmm. and City of Laurel and Anne Arundel, so it's making it a little challenging. We'll continue our efforts to try and get feedback, and I think the people that have been attending have been helpful in getting the word out of this is an opportunity to get your voice heard, which I think will be effective and possibly, you know, draw some participation.
So I know we did. We put it out on the actual stops and heard nothing. Mm-hmm. I think we had it there with 3 weeks to a month at least. We had it, I'm not sure, listing out there, nothing. We actually went out and put them. I've been trying to think of, I mean, I could get people who aren't riders, but I don't think that makes any sense.
Right.
To go with that.
Right.
I mean, I could get volunteers, but.
I know several months ago, Ramon had mentioned that he was going to reach out to several people too in Anne Arundel. But we did, with our last Riders Advisory meeting, it doubled in size. So it is definitely a very positive group and committee. And we tweeted it out, and we did do the bus stops, we did interior bus notifications. I sent it out to the PIO heads of each jurisdiction to post on their websites, and we really did a good push. We can continue to, you know, to make the effort.
Do you have a breakdown about who those responses came from, as far as like, you know, on Open Georgia's Laurel or anything like that?
No. I mean, who, in attendance?
Yeah.
Meaning?
Yeah, all these names are Howard.
I'd say it was the majority was Howard County. It was probably 90% Howard County. We had maybe one or two people from Prince George's.
Yeah, I think.
One not Laurel. We didn't have anyone from Anne Arundel attend. And it might be location as well. We might need to kind of, you know, go to each jurisdiction area.
Wonder if when someone calls, say, the call center or something to that effect, do they ever detail like where they're calling from, or, you know, this is the issue with this or that? I don't know if that could violate any sort of opportunity to.
Generally, or I think a lot of times if they are calling, they do identify what stop they're at. I guess we'd have to look at how to carefully try and elicit some.
We could put a blurb on our 1-800 number. We did that before, we pulled it off, we can put it back on. Let them know, you know, when the next meeting is, still looking for representatives, if interested, contact, blank.
Do you offer snacks?
I think they did, but they weren't a formal
at the meeting.
Group, they did pizza.
Or on the bus.
Okay.
This last Writers Advisory Council, we did not have anything.
But we did provide transportation to anybody that needed.
Yeah, but sometimes having food helps a little bit. Not that you have to have a food course meal or anything like that, but it makes people feel like they're at least they won't get hungry while they go to a meeting.
Can the bus drivers make announcements on the buses?
Yes, they can, and I think we have tried to use, because obviously there are some drivers that are more friendlier in having conversation with their passengers and I think they have put that out there and tried to get some interest to come. But we can try all the avenues and see what we get. And I think the food thing, my experience has been, I think in Prince George's County when I was there, they had like full-blown fried chicken and mashed potatoes, and they felt like people were coming for the meal and to complain all the time. So they were going to stop that. I'm assuming they did at this point.
Yeah. We snacks is a
thing.
We do rotate it from libraries in different locations throughout the county, and you get mixed response to that as well. So.
Okay. I'm going to circle back now that we have a quorum. I've reviewed the minutes, and I'm hopeful that everyone else has. They look accurate. I had to leave a bit prematurely, but everything looked accurate to me. Are there any comments or a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Apologize for being late, but BW Parkway had potholes. And the crew was out patching.
They were patching, it's good, it's warm enough. The general manager's report.
Okay. I'll first start off with just some regular updates. So we held a new employee class in the month of January. We had one existing employee that had been out on long-term leave return, and then two new drivers, a new maintenance technician, and a new call center representative that participated in class. We currently have about three vacancies in our driver pool, and we are looking at ramping up with the implementation of the TDP May 5th. So the intent is over March and April to recruit and hire roughly 12 to 14 drivers. So we'll be having a class both in March and April. There have been some staffing changes here at the RTA over the last month. the longtime AGM of maintenance, Kevin Randall, has moved on. And we are, First Transit is actively recruiting and has identified some candidates to fill that position. In the interim, Fernando Molina is here filling in and helping us out in maintenance until we get someone on a permanent basis. We wrapped up the interview process for the transit analyst planner position last week, so we're looking at putting out an offer to somebody in the next couple of days to get that vacancy filled. And the grants and compliance position has been posted or will be posted by close of business today, so we'll be recruiting for that in the upcoming weeks and hope to get that moving quickly.
Are those listed on the website, the qualifications?
Yes, the job posting is, yes.
Are these First Transit vacancies?
The maintenance person is a First Transit vacancy. The transit analyst and the grants and compliance are the RTA.
RTA, okay.
And as you guys have all heard, at the end of January, we did receive Earl Armiger's resignation from the commission, so Howard County is working to find his replacement. During the month of January, we had two inclement weather events, one in the middle of the month and one at the end. We had limited stop closures with both, so they had very minimal impact on our service, and there were no accidents reported, thankfully, during either incident. Staff has been working primarily on getting everything with the TDP in place so that it can go live May 5th. Finalizing schedules, maps, everything that will go out from an outreach standpoint so that the month of April can be spent out on the street getting the word out, getting our drivers trained, our customer service staff trained, since all the routes will be different in Howard County. We did have, during the month of January, we had three preventable vehicle accidents, one preventable passenger accident, and one preventable employee accident. In the report is the detail for all of the accidents that occurred. I won't go through, but if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. And there is a summary down at the bottom in the notes that gives a comparison. We actually are down overall from the prior January, which is good. And we did have one workers' comp employee injury as a result of one workers' comp claim as part of the employee injury.
I really appreciated you giving the details rather than just saying three preventable accidents. I mean, this explains it a lot clearer.
Yeah, it was very helpful. I think the safety manager and Andrew worked together to make sure that we had a easily to understand summary of each of the accidents.
I just want to ask one thing, and I too am impressed by the data that you have here. Is there any conflict sometimes between the police reports and the RTA reports?
So I would say conflict, or I don't know that I would call it a conflict.
Yeah, so not conflict, that's a little too strong. But.
So the police may find that the other person was at fault in the accident.
Right.
But we will say that it was a preventable accident on our driver's part because there are things that our driver could have done differently that might have prevented the accident from happening at all.
Okay. Does that ever, become an issue?
Not really. It how we handle it. It's reported to our insurance. It's the insurance company.
Sure.
If the police find the other driver at fault, the insurance company, that person's insurance company, covers the claim.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of our definition of was it preventable or non-preventable on our employees' part, is it really publicly reported outside of here? It's just how we handle it internally. In terms of training and coaching with the driver, what they could have done differently or how their actions impacted what ended up occurring. So, I don't
know. No, that answers the question, except that the insurance issue is...
So, the insurance issue is really who was found at fault. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the police report comes into play.
If the driver is found, it could have been prevented. You don't penalize them in any way, other than maybe you need a little more training in this area, or do you?
So it's really coaching and working with the driver. The only time, I guess, when it does come into play, if you have what we deem as preventable accidents, mm-hmm, in a certain time frame, it can be a disciplinary, mm-hmm, situation. But the real point of the labeling preventable and non-preventable is to work with them, mm-hmm, on what they could do differently to improve their driving skills from a safety standpoint. The driving fundamentals was the focus of our safety meeting in the month of January. We didn't meet our monthly quota from a drug and alcohol random compliance standpoint. The overall program is from an annual. It's do you meet it annually? We did have one of the people that was selected for a random drug test was out of the country. The taxi drivers that supplement the mobility program are part of our drug and alcohol program. So we had one that was missed because the person was out of the country. In January,
did he come back?
So we don't have quite as much control, obviously, on behalf of the taxi company. We are going to be setting up a meeting with them. We have a contract with them for their services to work to improve the relationship there to ensure that we are getting, because they provide an employee list at the end of each month so that we can use that to put into our random pool, and then they're selected.
How's that a ding against you guys? So if you're out of the country, that's it, that counts against you?
Well, so we included them as an active employee in our pool of employees. So when we are notified of the list of people that need to be tested within the month, just within that, so in the month of March, we'll be notified, if we haven't been already, we'll be notified, and it gives us 15 employees. We can choose throughout the month what day and time frame we have them tested, because we listed them as an active employee, and then when their name was pulled, we were told they're out of the country. It's we get dinged for it because we said the person was here and could have done it.
Is there any way to address that? Because it sounds like you didn't, yeah, comply, and it wasn't a question, yeah, really. If you,
right,
didn't
comply. So we're going to meet with the taxi company so that this isn't an ongoing issue, to figure out the best solution. It does seem a little odd that they were here at the end of the month and then all of a sudden they weren't here. Mm-hmm. I guess things do come up, but we will be meeting with them in the next week or two to try and better coordinate on that. From a communication standpoint, as I mentioned, TDP has been the focus here for much of the last month. All the elements that build up to the communications effort have been in play, and getting those completed then allows Sue to start her process on her side. We are looking at having print and digital advertising, geo-targeting the key hub locations out in the system, and an extensive outreach plan to have people out on the street communicating with riders. There will be the booklet that was put together for the public hearing. There will be a finalized copy of that that's being put together. The front and back brochure that we had, and getting all the schedules updated so that they can all be reprinted for the May 5th launch. We discussed, or we've multiple times, the White Coat Waste Project. That ad, it starts in the next week. The revenue that's being generated from that ad will be roughly $3,000. So we're breaking even, because that was what we had to pay for the legal settlement. And we're going to closely monitor to ensure that it runs the allotted amount of time and then is taken off of the buses and doesn't go over.
Is that ad actually on the website? You know, if you view the ad?
We can send it to you. It was part of the lawsuit.
That would be interesting, yeah.
I don't know if it's out on there. It's possible that it's out on White Coat's website if they have. But we can send it out to you so that you can see. We did meet with with Vector, our advertising, our vendor, last week to discuss the status of the accounts that are coming in and the flow of revenue. And we discussed some of the background with the advertising policy. They also are working with MTA, so we will be, as MTA is making changes, we're going to work with MTA on their and see how their policy is shaping up. I've reached out to WMATA to try and get a copy of theirs, since they're no stranger to lawsuits filed on behalf for advertising. We are going to utilize the last 1 year extension on our contract with Vector, so it will go through June of 2020. Our bus advertising revenue for the month of January was $1,470, which is below budget. So we're hoping to go on an upward trend as the months progress.
Is that a net or gross revenue, that $1,470?
It's after? Net. It's net.
So that's actual
yes.
Profit.
Yes. So that concludes my report. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from commissioners or public? Okay. I think Suzanne, you're up next.
I'm up.
Give us the January financial report.
Everybody should have their packet. January of 2019 always hits us in the cash flow, because it's the beginning of a new year, of the new calendar year. So we have Maryland unemployment, federal unemployment that resets. As the months go on, you'll see that decreases for that. But RTA was over budget by $40,620, but year to date for the 7 months, we are under budget by $432,559. I do have a page of notes of interest, so I'll just skim down there. Cash fares are below budget. Cash fares are below budget by $19,200 for the month of January of 2019. Year to date, it's $63,201. But keep in mind, New Year's Day there was no service, and Martin Luther King holiday there was a full service day. We had excellent, strong ticket sales. Combined fixed route and paratransit, $40,523. So that was $16,000 over budget. Howard County Library sales $8,000, Howard County Community College is $10,000, and the combination of five Howard County Senior Centers, total of $9,000, and then we also have distribution centers, which there were seven of them for a total of $4,325. So they're entities that actually purchase our tickets, and then they would distribute them to their clients. Where the other ones, Howard County Community College, the library, they actually sell them for the RTA. We just discussed the advertising revenue was $1,470. Then you will see that there is our staff analysis by department for our five departments. There are some big fluctuations compared to budget, but overall combination of the five service centers, you'll see we're below budget by $2,940. Our driver pool, the overtime percentage was at 14%, but you also have driver holiday worked pay, and you also have a PTO payout in accordance with the CBA. So the collective bargaining agreement, that's another thing that resets January 1st. So you will get, you have the option of getting paid at 40 hours in January from 2018, or you can carry over 40 hours. So the total cost of that was $46,768. Last year it was $44,334. I spoke of the federal and the Maryland unemployment. The new hire training for drivers was $4,304. Our January 2019 cab cost, which supplements our mobility program, was $24,199, and that is over budget, and our year-to-date over budget is $41,000. Thank goodness for diesel fuel cost, and because that is below budget, not only for the month, but also for the year of by $173,000.
And why is that? Just because favorable pricing?
We budget the same dollar amount as Howard County. So they budgeted $2.50 per gallon. So it was below that for the majority of the past 7 months. It did spike a little bit in December for a period of time. So there is a savings there. And then also with the unleaded, the fuel cost was $24,971 for January. And we're a little bit over the budgeted cost for the year by $18,000. Parts used per the work orders in the month of January, $28,726. That's below budget by $24,000. New buses, you know, less parts used for replacement. Maintenance towing is another savings line item in the maintenance budget. January was below budget by $3,400. Year-to-date, $16,000. And I actually looked at the 7 months through January of 2019. We spent $27,572 on towing. This time last year, $49,000.
Wow.
So big savings there.
New buses?
Yeah.
Yes.
Outside service repairs, you're going to see the same thing. That line item includes alignment work, some diagnostic work. There were 7 buses that were repaired using outside services. The total maintenance cost is below budget by $64,703 for the month of January. Year to date, $360,434. January, colder utility costs for both the administrative building plus over to 8,800. Cost $12,715. There's a line item for repairs and maintenance, which is where the Kristen spoke about the 2 storm events. So that's where the cost for snow removal, salt operations for the storm event is posted. There was also repairs to the bus wash, repairs for the fuel island, HVAC. And there was also some compliance inspection for underground tanks. Software includes our Ron Turley work order software, and we also purchased Nitro Pro software. There is a employee assistance program, which we call Health Advocate, which we pay annually. That's for all of our employees, and that costs $4,334. Payroll processing always hits us hard in January because you have W-2 processing and you have the Affordable Care Act processing. And then, as Kristen also mentioned, the White Coat settlement was paid in January, and that is posted under your legal fees. So, as always, if you have any questions.
Thank you. So my takeaway is, before we start our budget discussion, we're under budget by, in round numbers, $430,000. And what was the delta? You're going to lead into that and talk about that, Kristen?
I can. I think it was roughly $300,000.
Every commissioner, if you remember what I was talking about, when we move forward with the proviso that, you know, we all are hoping that we're going to make budget, but we may be. So if it was around 300 and we're 400, right now we're looking like we hopefully will not have an issue and be talking about service cuts, correct? Is that correct? Great. Excellent. Okay, would you let's pick it up from there? Listen, Suzanne. Any questions from Suzanne? I'm sorry. Anybody? Questions? Very well written, very concise.
Yeah.
I think with all the appropriate information. Thank you. Thank you very much.
In terms of the 2020 budget, at this point, our budget was put out towards the end of the year, and now I think all three counties are in their working on their budget deliberations with their councils. We await details from them. I think there are a couple of items that I just wanted to bring up and either the jurisdictional staff or put forward for everybody to consider. So the two items were sort of in limbo on the decision of the future of the 201, 301, 302, and 504. 201, I know you guys are taking, so it leaves the 504 and what the intent is with the 504, as well as the 301 and 302. If they're staying or going, just so from a planning standpoint on our side. And the second item is, with July 1, 2019, when the fair proposal was approved last year for this current fiscal year, it included an increase to Howard County's ADA and GPT fares, bringing the ADA fare in line with Prince George's and Anne Arundel in our system and increasing the GPT. The intent is to move forward with that increase. I think the one lesson we learned with this increase this past summer, we had a deadline on our acceptance of our fare products, all of the different passes and tickets and whatever. And I think the overwhelming feeling was it would just be easier if we just don't put a timeline on it and just accept it until we will obviously stop selling the old fare media, but we will just accept the old until it goes away and we're not seeing it anymore. Just to make it easier on everyone, passengers. We're still getting some exchanges from people who I think maybe open a drawer and find books of tickets or something and decide they want to come and swap them out. So we would recommend just allowing until it goes away, the acceptance of the fair media. And those are the two big items.
In reference to the tickets, pulling them back, what we would do is go out to all of the POS centers and get as much as we can off the street so we wouldn't be selling them anymore. That I think worked well last time. It would just be we'd accept them until the next increase, which is a year from July 1. Which it goes up again, or is planned to go up again if it gets approved. A lot less confrontation, a lot of it, you know, an easier process.
Go ahead, sir. You have something you want to say?
How much is the increase going to be for the paratransit and mobility?
So the current fare is on ADA in Howard County is $3. It's going to go up to $4. And the 10-ride ticket booklet would go up to $35, so there's still a $5 savings. And the GPT would go from $3 currently to $4.
And one of the things that had been mentioned at the last meeting was that you didn't, when you allowed people who had disabilities to ride the bus for free, you didn't notice the increased move over to an increase with mobility.
We didn't see a decrease on the mobility side. And
so, okay.
So we have, people are using the fixed route service, but it is not impacting the levels that they're using mobility. It's sort of business as usual.
In regards to the transition of the 201 going to Anne Arundel County, that is going to take place July 1.
Okay.
The 504 is still in talks, and that's basically if, trying to see if MTA is going to fund it. So we've been in talk with the state in regards to that. So you'll get probably an update on that in the coming week of what we plan to how we plan to proceed on the 504.
Okay.
There's a question about the 201.
Mm-hmm.
Is that included in a public hearing that you'll be having about the 201? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have dates on the public hearing?
Not yet. Yeah. I think we have a date for March, but I'll let you know.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. So if I'm riding the bus from the RTA and I want to catch the 201 over to Cromwell, I have to pay a separate fare?
Yeah.
So there's really only one way, only one bus that'll, not just only one, it's two. The only way you get from Columbia to BWI is through the 501 and the County Connect. Okay.
Can you go into your questions again about the 301?
I think there was just some question of is what service was staying and what service was going. And I think when we talked about the 301 and the 302, it was, the intent was to have it stay here, but it wasn't 100%. So
no, it's staying here.
It's staying. Okay. And then the 504, we'll find out more.
Yeah.
Okay.
What did you want? Do you want to say anything about that? The connections?
Me?
Yeah, you looked a little dismayed.
It's hard enough now getting from here to Baltimore.
Here being Columbia Mall?
Right. Leaving Columbia Mall, when you get to Arundel Mills, the 501 stops. So you have two options. One is to wait for the County Connector, which is erratic and it's a bad service. Or two, you could
not
at
bad
least...
service. I would say it's a bad service.
Do you ride it?
Yes, we have it.
Do you ride it on a regular basis?
No.
I do.
Okay.
Or you could catch the 201 Freetown bus that would leave and go over to Cromwell Bridge, Cromwell Light Rail Station, and then you connect to go to Baltimore. And that would just be with the same day pass that you would be able to use on the RTA. But with them leaving the 201, there's only two other choices now. One is the County Connector, or two is to pay to get on the 75. Or the 201 or the 75. So there's no way to not pay a double fare to get from Columbia Mall to Baltimore.
Got it.
Or even the BWI Airport now.
Right.
Except unless you use the County Connector. And I didn't mean to sound rude,
okay,
but I ride the County Connector three or four times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And the schedules are not kept. The bus drivers are not forthcoming about why they're late, and a lot of them
that's
just...
That's the one we have contracted out with BWI Partnership.
Right, and that's higher ground transit. I called the BWI Partnership, and I explained the situation to them, and they're still that disconnect between, you told me that you gave them two buses.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that the buses you gave them were trash.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why they're using
their high ground.
Yeah. And it doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
All I can say is that in order for me to know that I have to get to an appointment, I have to get to in Baltimore, I've got to leave at least an hour earlier if I'm waiting for the county connector, because it just doesn't
Yes, and we've been in talks with them and trying to get improved things, so we all working on stuff with them.
Thank you for your candidness. Kristen, anything else you want to discuss on the budget?
Nope, that's it, unless you guys have any other questions.
Questions from commissioners, staff, audience? Thank you. At this point, Jason and Chris, going to hand it off to you.
Yeah, I mean, Kristen actually covered some of the TDP elements, but Jason, we have anything to add?
I think the only thing I would like to add is that the county will also be coordinating with RTA and doing a lot of the outreach and press releases as we get closer to or we're launching on May 5th. So there's going to be a pretty good push from the RTA side and on the county side in getting information out on what's going to be changing and what's going to take effect on May 5th.
Yeah, we've met with county communications folks and they're on board and ready and willing to support the effort of outreach, and the materials will kind of initially come from RTA and from Sue, and then the county's ready to add to that and to amplify to get the word out.
Excellent. Any questions on that segment of the agenda presentation?
I guess that goes back to what the Writers Council was talking about. Because there's going to be lots of questions, are you putting more, I'm sorry if you already discussed this, putting extra people on the customer service, the call pen?
So with the implementation, there are 2 to 3 additional call center positions. I think some of what's going to come into play is when we can hire them. Mm-hmm. But the intent is, yes, to have more manpower in the call center.
Okay. At this time, if anybody has signed up, or frankly, if you haven't and you're a guest and you would like to speak, kindly raise your hand. I'll acknowledge you and you can have the floor. Anybody?
Mr. May, did you want
to? Yes. I wanted to talk about, you had mentioned it before, and Ms. Curtis isn't here today because she's not feeling well, and I think she has another meeting this evening. It seems like from the guidelines that you set up when you set the commission up, that really that the Writers Advisory Council can't do anything until you have 2 representatives from each of the jurisdictions. Is that correct?
The Writers Advisory Council. What do you mean by they can't do anything?
I mean, it says that the writers, from what I read online, the Writers Advisory Council is made up of 2 representatives from Howard County, Prince George's County, Laurel City, and Anne Arundel County. Mm-hmm. And that it says that, it said, from what I read, that it doesn't actually become an official body until all of that is met, until you have all of those members. So right now, Aspen A is really the only person, and the other person that was on there with her has not been attending for personal reasons now. So I just, and the other question I had is the Writers Advisory Council a separate entity or is it a part of the RTA?
That's a question I don't know the answer to.
I think the Writers Advisory Council is sort of an advisory to the commission.
Yes.
An advisory board to
the
commission.
I don't know if it's part of it, but it is it serves as an advisory role to, in theory, provide us commissioners, if you will, feedback from the riders that we may not be getting from staff.
Okay, but what I'm asking is that, okay, let's say I'm a consumer, I'm a rider,
right,
and I'm having a problem with whatever, mm-hmm, and I hear that there's a Writers Advisory Council, mm-hmm, and I don't necessarily want to go to the RTA because I don't think that the RTA is going to listen to my concerns.
Okay.
How does a consumer get a hold of the Writers Advisory Council aside from going through the RTA? Because there's no website, there's not even an email address for somebody who wanted to contact the Riders Advisory Council to do that. Everything that the Rider Advisory Council does or is going to do has to come through the RTA.
What it should be doing is going through ASTMA, who's currently the representative handling the RAC.
But how did they get in contact, with her?
Through the consumer email address. Oh, with her individually?
No, I mean, okay, there was something that was put on, it's in one of the minute meetings, and it said that if you have an issue, if the Riders Advisory Council has an issue, to put in the subject RAC, and it would get through to them. I sent three emails with that message that says RAC on it, and I haven't gotten any response from anybody. So if the process is to contact you and you contact ASTMA, there could be a long disconnect, there could be whatever, where if the Riders Advisory Council, if it had ridersadvisorycouncil@rta.com and it went directly to ASTMA or to whoever, it would seem to me it would be a lot better for someone who wants to contact the Riders Advisory Council personally without having to deal with the RTA. I mean, that's just, I mean, I've looked at other Rider Advisory Councils in Montgomery County and in other places and in the city, and they're a separate entity. And I just wondered what...
Well, I mean, the best way to communicate any issues through the Riders Advisory Council is to really come to the meetings, the scheduled meetings that's open to the public, because whatever your input that you provide at those meetings are officially documented on record in the meeting, in the minutes, and then any issues, those will be conveyed to the commission at the commission meeting. It's just unfortunate ASTMA wasn't here today. So any issues that you want to, you know, put forth to the commission, I would suggest going to the meetings. Therefore, it's on record, and that gets forwarded to the commission through the minutes and through the monthly meetings, rather than going through an email process that goes directly to a member of the council, because that may or may not get put in the official record.
But what I'm saying is, I'm not really talking about something mind-blowing or something. Everybody can't get to these meetings. And so in order for me as a writer to say there is a problem and I think it needs to be addressed from or by the Writers Advisory Council, the only way to do that now is to send an email to consumer@rta.com, and that is transferred to ASTMA.
There are a number of ways you could contact if you have issues. Certainly one venue, one way to do it. And you mentioned the other way is contacting RTA directly, but that's not successful. The other third option is you can contact Howard County, because we work with RTA closely. We help to administer the service. So you're in our Office of Transportation is on the county's website, and my information is up there as well. So you can serve. I have folks, riders, contact me directly with issues that I would convey to RTA, and we would try and resolve those issues. So there's also that, I guess, third option, that you can contact the county directly if you feel like there's been lack of response to an issue.
I just think that it's too hard. My thing is this: if you have a Riders Advisory Council, the Riders Advisory Council needs to be chartered to do certain things.
No, it's not. So.
And
yeah,
if I could just say,
that's probably not going to happen until we have a full complement. So at this point, it seems to be the problem is that you are following the directions. You're sending an issue with the tagline or whatever it is, and it's not being responded to. That's where our problem is. It should have at least someone saying, we've received your comment, thank you, so that you know that it's gotten through. If I were ASTMA, I would not want to be contacted personally, individually, because the whole, her, Can you imagine what our email's going to look like if everybody contacts her personally? So is there like a staff, you're the staff liaison to the, who's the staff liaison?
At the county?
At the Writers Advisory Council.
Yes, from Howard County.
Okay.
But the Writers Advisory Council is an RTA.
So yes, Andrew and I attended, Sue, Stephanie.
Okay.
And Victor.
So it seems that there seems to be a communication glitch that needs to be corrected.
I think what happened initially is that within the bylaws, it's established that this Writers Advisory Council will be formed and lie underneath CMTMC. In our last meeting, we were discussing how could, you know, if there was an issue between meetings, because we were discussing should this be a monthly meeting, a bi-month, you know, every 2 months, or how should we run it? And there was an issue raised that if something came up, an issue, you know, arose, that they needed to contact RTA, how would they do that? And it was a comment that was made, we have a consumer email address that all complaints and compliments come through, which is consumer@transitrta.com. Could we use that address, and in the subject line write RAC, so we would know it's the forum and the group of the meeting so that it could be addressed and handled. So that's kind of where we are. If that is the means of transport or communication, if we're gonna establish two or three ways to communicate, then we need to post it on the website so that when people go onto the RAC page, which is transitrta.com/RAC, all the meetings are hosted there, all the, you know, taped content is hosted right after the meeting there. We can do that, we just need to establish that, and I'll agree that that's the protocol.
All right, well, it seems like that's what needs to be done, and it should be a way of responding to someone, not directly, this is how we solved it, unless you have solved it, but that we have received your issue, and it will be put on the agenda, or it will be addressed. Because I know what frustration you have when you send something through the email, and there's no response. You have no idea whether it got through or whether it's even being looked at.
Right, and we can set up a different email address specifically for RAC comments and log those and create a sheet and share it with AstaMe so that she knows the issues that were raised in between meetings. We can even post it on the website.
That's fine.
That seems to make more sense. I don't think you want 800 different ways to get there. I think you want one way that's going to get there. Am I correct?
Because the thing about it is, you know, with me riding the buses a lot,
yeah,
I hear, and I don't agree with all of the comments that some of the riders say, but there's a lot of riders out there that just think that the RTA doesn't care, that the drivers can do whatever they want to do and nothing happens to them, that customer service doesn't care, and I know that's not true. But if they do have a legitimate complaint and they have to go through four different channels to get there, number one, they're gonna say, forget it, this is just another example of it being hard to get something done. Whereas if, like you said, if they get a email address that says, RAC complaints or RAC issues at transitrta.com, and it goes to somebody who reviews them, and if it needs to be handled in-house, it can, or if it's something that AstaMe needs to look at, like if somebody's saying that they want to be a part of the committee, then that's something like that. But that's a whole lot different than having to contact a Howard County this, another putting something in there and hoping somebody sees the RAC. If it's one stop on the page that you have for the RAC, it would be a whole lot easier, and you might get more feedback and response from people.
Yeah. Seems to make sense. Have a solid email, maybe have the number of the call center, and then say, oh, we also have the writer advisory meeting, and this is where they're held.
They're still there already.
Yep.
Okay.
You have what you need to make.
We have on the whole page, it says what the next, you know, meeting date is, what the location is, so we can establish that through our IT department, not a problem.
But also to kind of talk about, you know, the whole committee being set up and then something, I still feel like we often listen to everything that's brought about, so I mean, I think that's the whole point, is to listen to what issues may be arising and then, you know, determine if we can, there's something we can do about it.
So the council is doing something.
I'm not saying that you're not.
Well, it kind of implied that it was sort of an ineffectual thing and we weren't gonna pay any attention.
No. But that's not what I was saying. I was saying that there needs to be something a little bit more streamlined to get to it, because like I said.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that you at the beginning were concerned about four entities being a part of the council. The council wasn't doing the work.
No. I wasn't saying that. I'm sorry, I misspoke. When I said that without the all the representatives being on the RAC council, I was saying that the RAC council wasn't able to do what it was on charge to do. Me being at Verity's meeting, I've heard the things that you guys have been brought to your attention and that changes have been made. So I wasn't saying you guys are ineffectual. I'm saying that without the RAC having everything that it was chartered to have, they can't do whatever they were supposed to be chartered to do.
Okay.
So the first step of the solution is we're going to try to streamline it and put something together that will acknowledge we received the email. Can we do that?
Mm-hmm. We'll have to establish a new email address specifically for the RAC.
Let's do that, and then there's the protocol is one that we respond that we have received it and it's going to get passed to the appropriate person or persons. We'll monitor it, and if that's not working, we'll revisit it and get it so it works. In the meanwhile, we'll have to redouble our efforts to get the RAC ramped up and fully staffed—not staffed, but fully represented. I think it's very important for the success of the system, and we just have to keep trying. I know you guys appreciate all the efforts. Any commissioners have anything to say to this? Any more they want to add?
That's
fine. Looks like we've come to the list of the agenda. Anything we have not covered or that you commissioners would like to discuss while we're all here? We had some discussion. I apologize, I had to leave early for business last time, but there was some discussion that we maybe move to quarterly in-person meetings and as a commission, and move to monthly, you know, a monthly phone call, and then every quarter we meet in person. Seeing how we have a quorum and the active members are here, I'd like to hear everyone's thoughts about that for a minute or two and what you think.
I'm doing an awful lot of conference calls lately, and of course it does save travel time, but sometimes I can't hear everybody clearly.
Yeah.
I can't see their reaction. If there's an audience out there, you know, you can't do that. I mean, it certainly saves time. It's maybe a little bit more efficient, but you miss some of the social part of it. So alternating might be okay.
Yeah, I agree. There's something with face-to-face contact, which is really, I think, an extra in terms of, plus, you know, reading body language and things like that, just dealing with folks. It just is important to me. I tend to, you know, being an old man, I tend to doze off on conference calls, so it's just much more efficient and effective for me anyway. That's my personal viewpoint.
I get distracted on a conference call. It's also, I'll just put it here and I'll go over.
You're right.
We don't want that. John?
I would prefer the personal meetings because I like the being able to reach out and talk to people before the meeting. I like being able to talk to people after the meeting. I like talking all the time, except during the meeting. But I think it's more beneficial to get, in terms of getting things done, when you can actually talk to people one-on-one, and you miss all that in a conference call.
I don't really have a strong opinion on either one. I don't mind the conference call because I always have a lot of work to do, but I don't mind this either. So either way would be fine. I'll go with what the commission does.
Well, being the youngest member of the council,
I didn't want to say that.
Okay. So what I'm hearing, I think we're going to continue with monthly meetings. We'll revisit it, and you know, if someone really wants to bring it up again, we'll talk about it. But for now, we're going to stick with the status quo and keep meeting every month. Same schedule.
Especially with the changeover coming, I think we might have a little bit more to talk about when that happens.
Yes, indeed.
That's a very good point.
Okay.
So we don't need to do any move. We're just going to continue with our regularly scheduled meetings.
Okay.
Any other business? Anything we've missed? Anybody from RTA, public, commissioners, staff? Hearing none, meeting adjourned.
Well, we will put it with all that.